We are starting this new sermon series called Guardrails. We're in the second week. Guardrails is just a great metaphor. There are these real-life guardrails, and they are found on the sides of the road while we're driving, and their purpose is to keep us from ever straying to dangerous off-limit areas. And so you'll see guardrails when you're driving on the sides of bridges, on the sides of cliffs to keep you from going over. You'll see them in the medians to keep you from crossing into oncoming traffic. You'll see them around curves to keep you from going off into the woods there to keep us from ever going into these dangerous off-limit areas to begin with. And the thing about guardrails, which I think is so interesting, they're found, you'll find them at the side of the road at the top, not down at the bottom. There's no apparatus down at the bottom of the cliff to send cars back up. Right? We put the guardrails on the side of the road because it's so much easier to keep something going in the right direction more or less from the beginning. So much easier to do that than it is to take a wreck, something that's fallen off the side, and try to turn that thing around and send it back up. And we see those guardrails while we're driving, and God has given us guardrails. The metaphor is for God's wisdom. God's wisdom serves as guardrails for our lives as we're going down the road of life to keep us from ever straying into those dangerous off-limit areas. God's wisdom serves as a guardrails for our finances, for our relationships, for our marriages, for our conduct, for our behavior, for our morality. God has given us wisdom that we can follow to keep things going down the road the right way, more or less from the beginning. Destruction beckons to us from the other side. Sometimes it tempts us and calls us what's on the other side of that guardrail. But God's wisdom is not new. God's wisdom is ages and ages old. It's been here for thousands of years, tried and true, proven and tested. And the question is more or less, will we listen to it? That's really the question. It's here and it's available to all. And the question is, are we listening and will we follow these guardrails? Or will we choose to jump over the cliff? The choice is up to us. The way the book of Proverbs puts it, and we're reading through the book of Proverbs in this sermon series, time after time, proverb after proverb, says things like this: the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death, that God's guardrails keep us going the right direction, but that it's up to us if we listen to it. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And as we read the book of Proverbs, this principle that fools will disregard God's advice and just go barreling headlong, head first over that cliff, but a wise man will listen to the advice, heed the instruction of the Lord, change course, more or less from the beginning, to avoid going over those cliffs. Last week, we took a moment, we just thought about our greatest regret in life. And I just wanted to take a moment and do that again. Think about your greatest regret. Think about that one thing that you would just give so much to go back and change. I'd love to go back and change. Go back before I did any of that, and I would do it differently. Oh, I wish I had that over again. Take a moment, think about your greatest regret. And it's likely that our greatest regret would have been avoided if merely we had followed God's guardrails for our life. Our greatest regret financially or relationally or morally, in our employment, in our behavior, that could have been avoided if we would have followed God's guardrails. And the goal of benching this in this exercise is not to make us feel bad about our past. Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross, and we all need that. And we've all crossed the guardrails at one time or another, and we all need God's forgiveness. And the way the Bible puts it is there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Jesus Christ, God himself, came, took our punishment for the way we've sinned against God and hurt ourselves and others. He took the punishment for that, the justice for that, upon himself on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. And now we're not condemned for our failures. We're not held accountable to pay the punishment for our sins anymore. And so the goal of that exercise is not to make us feel bad about our past because we're forgiven. It's to think about it and learn from our past. Because while there's no condemnation in Christ, there are consequences that we face in this life. And I don't want to see people go over the cliff as we read God's guardrails. And I think about all the people who have seen their marriage, you know, this, that, or anything. And I just think about the guardrails that God has put in place so that we wouldn't be there. I just want us to follow that so that we're not suffering the consequences of the way we've crossed those guardrails. So the goal is to read God's wisdom today and put up a guardrail in our life where there may not be none right now, no matter where we're at, especially if we're not over the cliff, because we can avoid that in the future with God's wisdom. We can keep things going in the right direction. Today we're going to be talking about God's guardrails for our friendships. When I was in 10 or 12, I had this friend. He lived in in one of the bigger neighborhoods, and his family had one of the bigger houses, and he had all the right toys. I mean, he had ping pong tables and air hockey tables, and Sega Genesis had just come out, and he had Sega and NHL 94, or whatever it was. It was the greatest game ever created, and I loved to go over to his house. And I always ask my mom, "Mom, can I go over to Nathan's house today?" And she'd say, "Well, are his parents home?" And I'd ask Nathan, and his parents were just, I don't know what, they were probably working really hard to pay for all that stuff, but they were just never home. And so I'd, "No, Mom, they're not home." Again, she said, "Well, then you can't go over there." Oh, I was so mad. Paradise awaited me from just down the road, and I couldn't go because my parents wouldn't let me if their parents weren't home. And the thing that my parents understood is that friendships can determine the quality and direction of your entire life. Your friendships can determine the quality and direction of your entire future. And because friendships have that type of power, my parents realized that I should not be forming those relationships unsupervised at such a young age. They wanted to know who I was around and who I was with. And they'd say, "You can't go over to that person's house." Because my parents knew if we have wise and godly friends, that will rub off on us. That will change us. Their wisdom will rub off. But if we have foolish friends, well, then we'll suffer harm. And the idea that friendships determine the quality and direction of our life is not just a concept my parents invented. It's a biblical concept, and it's found throughout the Bible and throughout the Proverbs and verses like this, that we need to make sure that we have wise and godly people who are our close companions. And did your parents ever say anything like that to you? Did your parents ever act in a way which showed that they believed that your friends would determine or could determine the quality and direction of your life? Did your parents ever say, "No, you can't go over to that person's house"? Maybe your parents knew something about a friend of yours and they didn't want you becoming a close friend because of that foolishness, because they were afraid that you would suffer harm from being close companions with someone who was ignoring God's wisdom. Did your parents ever do that to you when you were growing up? Do you have that concept down today? Now that you're grown up, do you understand that? That those who you bring close to you will affect and determine the direction of your life. Do you understand that principle? Think about the first time that you ever stole anything. Think about the first time maybe you ever took your first cigarette, your first puff. Think about the time you took your first drink, or maybe the time that you first viewed pornography. Think about that time. It's most likely that those bad habits, some of them habits which are the hardest to change in life, some habits which are the hardest to overcome, they were introduced not at the hands of an enemy, but at the hands of a friend. I think that a bad friend can actually cause far more destruction in your life than a strong enemy. And when you think about your friends, a friendship is something you open your life to, your heart, you trust them, they trust you, they have pull and influence on you, and you on they. But an enemy, you don't give them that space in your life. An enemy, you know where they're coming from. You single them out from the beginning. That guy is against me. And an enemy might come at you with attack after attack, but you're going to defend yourself. That enemy is not going to lead you to destruction. But a bad friend can and will. In fact, I'd say it's more important to have the right friends than it is to be enemy-free. I'd rather have a strong enemy come against me than a bad friend. And we need to remember that friends have that sort of influence over us, and therefore we need godly friends who follow godly wisdom. And at this point, if you have a friend who's a negative influence in your life, who is rejecting godly wisdom, you're probably defending that relationship right now. Maybe your spouse is elbowing you, whatever, and you're probably, and you're probably deceiving yourself. You're probably, "Oh, they don't influence me. They don't, I'm a rock. Nobody leads me where I don't want to go. I've got my eyes open. I'm wise." Now, I'm not that old, I'm 34, but over the years I've heard my friends use this sort of talk, this deception, to justify their involvement in all sort of foolishness. And the idea that we're not influenced by what we say or do or hear or think or are around or who we associate with, it's foolish behavior, it's prideful, it's unrealistic. No one should be so prideful to think that we're not influenced by the people we're around. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us not to deceive ourselves in this exact way. Paul says, don't be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. We need to make sure that we're not going over the cliff We need to make sure that the people around are not leading us closer and closer to that guardrail, tempting us and bringing us further and further to rejecting godly wisdom. Wisdom will influence us and rub off on us, and so will foolish behavior, and we need to cut off those friendships which are leading us over the cliff. And does that sound like an un-Christian thing to do, right? I'm going to cut off this friend. It seems like, you know, we kind of get the impression that to follow Christ, we need to just open up our hearts and our lives to anyone and everyone who comes along. But the Bible has tons of verses like, don't be friends with this individual. Don't associate with this type of person. Do not walk with this individual time and time again, because we need to have guardrails in our life. And it's biblical wisdom to closely guard our close friendships and make sure those who are around us are following God's wisdom. Psalms 1:1 is a verse like that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. We're talking about close companionship here, walking with someone as we go through life, but not to be the person that we're walking alongside with. Why? Because they're going over the cliff. And we got to make sure that they're not leading us there. Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Again, biblical wisdom, time and time again, is that we are influenced by those around us, and therefore we need to watch those friendships carefully. We need to make sure that as we extend our friendship and extend that opportunity to influence us, that the other person isn't standing there and pulling us away from God. It's biblical wisdom to closely monitor our friendships. It's a wise thing to do. I have a cousin who became a Christian and just loves the Lord. I'm telling you, he is passionate about God and the Bible, and he's a great witness and just a wonderful, on-fire Christian. The thing is, he has known this individual, the oldest relationship in his life, known him longer than anybody other than family members, known them since he was a little kid. And this person is just a terrible influence. And one of the most selfish, ungodly people that you could meet. But he's fun to be around, and they've known each other forever. And that might be you. You might be saying like, oh, but I've known this person for so long. They're so much fun. I've known them longer than even my family, some of you know, except for my family, I've known them longer than anyone. But it doesn't matter. The question is, where are they leading you? And where are they going? My cousin, his friend is... You know, just in the time that my friend has been on fire for the Lord and excited about God, this friend of his has led my cousin into drug use and adultery and all sorts of things. And my cousin will call me up and we talk about different things, and sometimes he'll talk to me about what God is doing in life. Other time, he'll call me and he'll say, oh, I can't believe what I did. Here is where I'm at. And I'm just blown away. I'm like, how? I know you. How did you get there? How did you ever get to that place? And it's always the influence of this person. And I was like, you've got to cut that person off. And he'll be like, oh, I know. And he will for, you know, 4 months, 6 months, but they've just known each other so long. He'll call up again. They'll start sharing their common interests again pretty soon. He's leading my cousin off a cliff in another area. My cousin knows what he's got to do. He just hadn't had the strength to do it yet. And he'll justify his situation. He'll be like, well, I'm trying to influence him towards God. I'm trying to witness to him about Jesus, and I'm like, it's the opposite. It's going the opposite way. You've got to put up a guardrail. It's not working. You might be asking yourself, well, wait, what about loving those far from God? What about helping those who are in need? Aren't we supposed to reach out and love? And yes, absolutely, but this might sound a little bit harsh, but our outreach are not always the same as a friendship. And that might sound a little difficult, but we can love someone but not open up our lives to the influence that they might have over us. We might love someone, but draw a boundary. We might reach out and try to help, and if we find out they're not receptive or find out that they're pulling us the opposite way, then God asks us to put up a guardrail, and he asks us to be wise enough to know the difference about whether we're influencing them or they're influencing us. There are many times where we reach out our hand to someone in need, and we help them, and it's a positive experience, and they are positively influenced, and they are led towards God and towards his wisdom and towards Jesus Christ. But we can't be fools. We can't think that if we're going to take a shower and then go play in the mud, that the mud's going to get clean. We're going to get dirty. And God asks us to know the difference. Are we influencing them towards Jesus Christ, or are they pulling us into the mud? And God asks us to have that type of wisdom, that type of eye on our relationships. It's a theme throughout the Bible, throughout the Proverbs. Proverbs 12:26, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And Jesus himself in Matthew 18, throughout that chapter, he even gives instances of relationships that we need to cut out of our lives. Because wisdom will rub off on us, and so will foolishness. A friend is a connection. They pull us. They lead us. And you might have someone in your life who you need to start guarding your heart around. Someone who's been a bad influence. We can't help them from the bottom of the cliff. Sometimes a guardrail is the best way to help. The Bible lets us know that companions of fools will suffer harm. And why is that? Why does the Bible say these kinds of things? Why does it let us know that we'll, if we walk around, we walk through life and we're close friends with people who ignore God's wisdom, why does it say that we'll suffer? Well, foolish people, time and time again in the Bible, they're represented as not listening to God's wisdom. They might be fun. They might be great and fun to do stuff with, but they're not listening to God's wisdom, and a fool does not correct his course. He just goes right over the cliff. He ignores the guardrails. And so the reason why it warns us about that is because if the fool is not wise enough to value his own life that way, why will he value ours? They might be fun, but they're not thinking of our best interests. They're not a positive influence. We might consider them a friend, but they're doing more damage to us than an enemy. Here's what you can say to a fool. You can say, hey, you know, do you think your wife would appreciate if you're doing this right now? What do you think this is going to do to your marriage? What do you think she'll say when she finds out? And the fool will not correct his course. You can say, hey, you know, these spending habits are going to lead you into financial ruin. You're going to be broke. They're going to come after you. You got to change. The fool will not change his course with that godly wisdom. He'll continue on that path. And here's the deal. If they don't value their marriage, if they don't value their finances, if they don't value the areas in their life, why would they treat yours any better? Why would they be any more careful with the areas in your life? Why would they be more concerned about your marriage or your finances? They're just going to continue to influence you to go over that cliff. We should all have people in our lives that we're reaching out to. We should all have a circle of friends in our lives, 2 to 5 people or so, who know everything about us and who are godly people who speak into our lives and influence us for godliness. We should all have 2 to 5 people who are in trouble or suffering that we're needing to reach out to and to help. We should all have these different types of relationships. We should be clear on what type of relationship that we're in. And if we find out that someone is in our close circle of friends, they're just leading us towards that guardrail, closer and closer, and we need to take a step back because they're going to influence to go off the cliff. If we need to find someone we got to take a step back from and cut them out of our lives, we need to explain to them why. We need to give them an invitation to change before we do. Passive-aggressive people, right? That's what we are. We just would rather just not have that conversation. I'm just not going to answer the phone. I'm just not going to do this or that or the other thing. But we need to make sure to have that explanation. You know, I invite you, instead of encouraging me to do this, I invite you to come and do that. You know, the most important thing to me is that I follow God and becoming more and more of who he wants me to be, and you're just leading me that other way. Won't you come this way? We need to make sure that we're inviting people, because that's sometimes our strongest witness, is drawing that boundary of making clear that I choose friends, I choose people who are positive influences and leading me towards God, and you're not doing that. Won't you come and join us instead? We might take a step back in a relationship. It might feel difficult, a tough choice to make, but sometimes that boundary is the most loving thing we can do because it leads to a clear call to follow God, and sometimes it leads to future opportunities to counsel. One of the people I know who's most passionate about outreach and passionate about helping those in need and those who are suffering will often explain to me, I've had this conversation with them about how they have to draw boundaries at different places, and sometimes the people on the other side of that draw a boundary too. When they found out that this person, that she's not going to go along with their ungodliness, sometimes they'll draw a boundary and they'll not call her or be friends with her anymore. It's interesting how those boundaries are formed. But, you know, because of these people, relationships she'll form that, you know, they're going that way and she's going this way, there'll be these guardrails that are pulled up. But she said, you know, most oftentimes when that person this foolishness has led them off the cliff when their marriage is ending or they've been fired for the job, they call me again. Months later or years later, they call me again. They ask for godly wisdom about what they can do in this situation. And sometimes the difficult, tough act of drawing a boundary is actually an act of compassion because it invites them to follow God. And often God will use that for future opportunities. We need to choose friends who are heading towards God. And who is in your inner circle? Who's influencing you? And are they influencing you to godly wisdom? Because just as a friend can influence us away from God, a friend can influence us towards God. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. We're relational people. God is in us. And therefore, when we grow towards God, it's most often in the context of a close relationship with another positive influence, another person who's following God's wisdom. Think about the time that you've grown most spiritually. When you ask people, when was the time you grew most spiritually? Most people most often will mention a person. Oh, it was the time my youth pastor did this. It was the time my small group in church, we did that. My college friends, we did this. And when was that time for you? Who was that person in your testimony that challenged you or made you grow spiritually? The image here is of iron sharpening iron. Is back in the day, you had your knife, you had your sword. It was made of iron, and the same iron you'd fashion into a tool to sharpen it. And it'd be a file, some sort of file, and you'd, you know, put the sword back and forth on that file and sharpen it and sharpen it up. Both of them are made of the same substance, both of them iron, just like both of you and I are human beings. We're made of human flesh, but God has put us in each other's life to be that for each other, to challenge each other, to sharpen each other towards godly wisdom. And we can do that for each other. And who has done that for you? When I think back about the time that I grew most spiritually, it was in college. I had a group of guys, a group of friends who are just incredibly godly people. And I was just kind of new to actually loving the Lord and wanting to follow him in my heart because I wanted to. And we met literally almost every night together in the dorm rooms to pray, to read the scripture, and to hold each other accountable. And we grew as people, and we grew towards the Lord so much. It was a relationship. Iron sharpens iron. And just as our friends can lead us away from God, they can lead us towards God. They can have the opposite effect. 5 years from now, you can be sitting here saying that. I joined a small group at church. I started hanging out with people from church. I started opening my life up to people who are following God, and it's changed my life. I've grown so much spiritually over the last 5 years because I've started to actually form deep relationships with other believers, because I cut out people who were bad influences. You could be saying that 5 years from now. That's godly wisdom. So just rewind right back to now, and let's just do that. Let's make that decision. Let's join a small group at Cornerstone. Let's open up our hearts and our lives to other believers and see what happens over the next 5 years. And let's cut out those people who are leading us away from God and give them a direct challenge to follow God themselves. And let's see what happens over the next 5 years. You know, this is why we believe in being a relational church. When you ask people who are mature Christians, how did you grow the most spiritually? They usually don't mention a podcast or an album. They mention a person. This is why we believe in a relational model church. We want you to get to know the people around you because they are the ones who are going to influence you most towards God. We need to choose friends who encourage us towards godliness. And finally, we need to include friends in our inner circle, in that group of 2 to 5, who are going to tell us the truth. Proverbs 27:5 says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. While you're doing something stupid, one of your bad influence friends will be encouraging you the whole way. Hidden love. Kissing the kisses of an enemy. Right? Oh yeah, you keep going. You can have another. You're doing great. Your wife won't mind. You can do that. Don't worry about the finances. They'll be doing that the whole way, while a friend will say, hey, get a hold of yourself. Stop what you're doing. And when we hear that, as we're going to the guardrail, we of course think that we're doing everything that we're doing is justified. And as we're going to the guardrail, and we hear a friend rebuke us like that, oh, we hate it. Oh, we bristle at it. How dare they tell us what to do? But they're the people who love us. Even though we hate it the most, and oftentimes we'll cut those people out of our lives. I can't believe what he told me. I can't believe he told me that I shouldn't do that. But those are the people who we need in our inner circle. They're the people who actually care about us. The friend who's influencing us over the cliff, that's not love. And we need to make sure that we choose friends who tell us the truth. It's natural to cut them out, but they're the people we need. And I encourage you to join a small group. Again, I mentioned before, we've got a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Join a small group. We meet every other week or so throughout the school year, September till May or June. And it's in those groups that oftentimes we'll find those close relationships, those people who hold us accountable and keep us on track. And finally, going back to Jesus, he says, John 15:13, says, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus made the greatest sacrifice for us, God himself. That's why I just think it's the biggest story imaginable. You think about God, the most powerful, most beautiful, most wise, most kingly being who deserves all of our worship and our praise, who we should be bowing down before. The idea that he would come and sacrifice for us is mind-blowing. Oftentimes does your boss at work come down and serve and sacrifice for you and do your job, right? How often does the president actually come out of his thing and get dirty and sacrifice and serve? Usually they're the ones who are taking, you know, people in charge are taking the huge luxury vacations and taking giant salaries all the while talking about, you know, how much that we need more income equality, you know, whatever it is. The people at the top almost never make that sacrifice themselves. And when you think about the greatest story, that God made that sacrifice for us, it's just mind-blowing. But there's one thing that God does not call us to sacrifice. Just as Jesus sacrificed for us, he calls us to sacrifice for others, but there's one thing that he doesn't call us to sacrifice. That's following him and following his commandments. As we think about cutting off relationships in our lives, it's not something to take lightly at all. It's something to think very seriously about. Because God does not cut us off. He sent his son so they would be reconciled. But the thing is, we are not divine. We are not God. And Jesus himself faced temptation face to face, the way the Bible describes it in John 3 and 4. Jesus faced Satan face to face in the wilderness and did not fall to his temptations. The reason why that story is in the Bible is it makes him unlike every one of us. Everyone who's ever existed, we've all fallen to those temptations. We are not God. We're not divine. And so while Jesus came and served and sacrificed for us, and we're to sacrifice for others like Christ, there's one sacrifice that he does not call us to make, and that's following his commands. And so if you're feeling guilty about cutting off a friendship, if you find them influencing you away from God more than you're influencing them towards God, it's godly wisdom. And we're not their savior. Jesus is. We do not have to take that upon ourselves. We can put up that guardrail and trust God with that person. And who do you need to do that with in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. Lord God, I pray that you'd give us the strength to be in close relationships, God, with people who do not know you. Give us the strength to influence them. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit strong enough that we can influence them and stand up against an ungodly influence against us. God, I pray that you'd give us godly wisdom for our friendships. If we're deceiving ourselves, if we're thinking, they don't influence me, God, I pray that you just open our eyes a little bit. God, if we come home and our spouse tells us, like, what are we doing? You seem like you're a different person when they're around that individual or whatever. God, I pray that you'd give us the open eyes and clear hearts and clear mind that we could recognize the influence that they are having over us. God, I pray that you'd give us the strength, God, to influence them more than they influence us. And Lord, if we are unable to make that sacrifice at this time, God, if we've got to put up a guardrail in our hearts so we don't go over the cliff, God, I pray that you give us wisdom to do that kindly and in love. Put up a boundary with an invitation to step on this side. Lord, we just pray all those things in the name of your son, Jesus. And God, we pray for the offering which we're about to receive as well, God, that it'll go to spread your gospel. Spread the message of Jesus Christ, the most powerful, most unimaginable story ever told, most amazing thing that's ever happened in history, that you came and you died for us. And you came out of your palace and your kingdom. You came down and sacrificed and served for us. We pray all those things in your name, Jesus.